AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, helping you excel in business and in life. Here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Money 2.0 Business on the Edge. This show is brought to you by Business on the Edge, your small business problem solver, and the On the Edge Women in Business Club. You can connect with Business on the Edge through our social media channels, Twitter, Business on the ED, LinkedIn at Margaret Jackson, our Facebook page, MJ Radio Host, our Facebook group page at On the Edge Women in Business. Post your products, services, events, motivation, inspiration, political views. It is a group for you to make your comments and thoughts known and your products known and your events known. And, you know, I call it virtual networking. You want a virtual network. I've gotten great opportunities through virtually networking, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, mostly LinkedIn and Facebook, but you definitely want to get out there and network. Don't be shy. Also, you want to connect with our podcast. You can follow us on Podbean. That's our ontheedgepurpose.podbean.com. And you can connect with us also on iTunes and Google Play. And you know what I've done with that podcast? I just made everything. We opened it up. There's no more. I really want small businesses to get the resources that they need. So it's all free. Get out there, enjoy. So whatever you could not listen to, it is available out there to you. And those of you, and you probably already know it, that have been purchasing the premium content, it is no longer a cost to you. So you will not see that show up on your PayPal there. So we want you to get the information as much as possible. And so enjoy the topics out there. Some of our guests, some of our friends in business that are giving you some great information on doing business better, and also that well-rounded individual. You know, I often say if you're kind of crazy at home, you're going to be crazy at work. If you got issues and it impacts. And so we want to keep a balance. We're human. And we're not just machines, and we're not just going to work, and we're not just building business, but we're people. And so we have to stay physically healthy. We have to stay mentally healthy. And we're seeing, you know, some really devastating things happen in the workplace because there's some instabilities there mentally. And we want you to stay healthy out there as well. You can also connect with me directly at On the Edge, at businessontheedge.biz, with questions or comments or topics that you might want me to talk about at some given time. So email me at ontheedge@businessontheedge.biz. Each week, I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning into the show. We appreciate your listenership, and we work hard to bring you a great show that adds value to your professional development and small business and entrepreneurship growth. You can always dial into the show and get your questions and comments on the air at 1-800-516-1220. That's 1-800-516-1220. The first rule of any technology used in a business is that automation applied to an efficient operation will magnify the efficiency. The second is the automation applied to an inefficient operation will magnify the inefficiency. And that is true. That is Bill Gates. So technology is great. And when you apply it to an efficient operation, so we, as business owners, we want to become efficient. And I know as small businesses, we wear so many different hats, and it can be challenging getting some of those efficiencies in place. And that's why we call it startup. That's why we call it, you know, I have this rule that startup really is for small businesses. That's not, that there's no investment going into it. You don't have $250,000 that VC's giving you. You're starting out of that hurting capital in your pocket. Your startup mode is a little bit longer, and I talked a little bit about this in an exclusive event we did this week with BBVA Compass Bank. You're really starting from a different point behind the point of what that startup capital should be, at least $250,000. And so you're trying to play catch up. And so you're wearing a lot of different hats. And so your startup mode is somewhere between 1 year and 7 years. So, and don't be discouraged. Doesn't mean that you can't get to places sooner and get efficiencies in place. But if it's just you and hopefully someone else, or if it's just you and you're wearing the different hats, then you're gonna have some juggling to do in terms of getting those efficiencies in place. And it comes. And then of course, second, the inefficiencies, you get the technology and you're thinking, I have not been able to use this well because you're trying to get up to speed. So don't be too hard on yourself. It takes some time, and you'll get there eventually with the right type of support and opportunities that are out there for you. And I've talked many, many times about like the SBAs and the SBDCs and networking with the right people and creating smart relationships that can give you some of the people support, because you need people support. And so it that takes a little bit. But so there's ways of, you know, getting to a place where inefficiencies become efficiencies. So don't be too hard on them, Bill Gates. So power question, Blacks in technology and Blacks in business. What is your perspective? What is your perspective on that? And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. I have a great show guest tonight. I'm so excited to have him here tonight. And we're going to roll into actually our guest. Usually I kind of do a little teaching. But because I have not really had this topic on the show, even as a Black woman on radio talking business, I haven't had anyone on that to really have a dialogue about Blacks in business, women in business, Black women in business. We've talked about women in business in general, but Blacks in technology, you know, we see some deficits. So we're going to have that conversation tonight. And I want to really give enough room to really have that kind of dialogue. We have the president of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, Carl Davis Jr., president and executive director. So let me give you a little bit of his background. Carl brings a rare mix of over 30 years of entrepreneurship, business management, and leadership skills pertinent for teaching entrepreneurship and running the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce. As a former White House conference on delegate, Carl has continually fought for small business issues and access to capital, contracts, and resources for African Americans and other minorities and women-owned businesses. Carl was instrumental in starting the Center for Entrepreneurial Development's Small Business Incubator program, which is still in existence today. Carl thinks global and has expanded his outreach as he's recently met with the presidents of Tanzania and Zanzibar, along with their business officials during a recent trade mission. Carl currently operates as president of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce and is also certified as a U.S. Small Business Development Center business advisor. Carl Davis, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you, Margaret. It's my pleasure to be on your show.
Well, we're glad to have you. Now, we've had a little bit of dialogue, and I think the best place to start about talking about, let's start with Blacks in technology. We're talking about Blacks in business, and I think we're gonna kind of overlap the two. But you brought up someone's name that I had never heard before, Roy L. Clay Sr.
Yeah, Roy is. If people Google Roy Clay Sr., he'll come up about 10 people down. He'll come up as the godfather of Silicon Valley. Now that's a bold statement coming from an African American. People would say, how would an African American be the godfather of Silicon Valley? Well, very briefly, Roy actually built the first computer for HP, Hewlett Packard. Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard, I guess, hired him, and he built their first computer. So as a matter of fact, coming up at our event in Blacks in Business, Blacks in Technology, Brian Tippins, who's one of the highest-ranking African-Americans in Hewlett Packard, and now it's HPE, Roy and Brian are having a conversation, and I guess Meg Whitman's going to actually do a video just kind of showing how HPE, its history of having African Americans be a part of them. So I think it's a wonderful way for them to talk about diversity, inclusion, and get that message out. But that's something, if somebody ever wants to look up Roy Clay Sr., they're going to find out this 85-year-old man now is so beloved by everybody, we've actually going to do one of our awards and actually name it after Roy Clay Sr.
That's absolutely fantastic. And this is news, you know, news to me in terms of Roy being the African-American man who's built the first computer in Silicon Valley. You know, that's important information. Now, we talked a little bit, and I want to dig back in a little bit into his history, because in order to move this conversation forward, I want to talk about some realities. Business on the Edge, we're on the edge for a reason. And I want to get a little edgy tonight. So buckle up, listeners, tonight. Let's you know, have some straight talk tonight and bring some illumination, for lack of a better term, to black people in business, some of those challenges, the real challenges. And I'm not talking about a race card, and I'm going to address that a little later. And I've had this conversation before, you know, in terms of, you know, pulling out a race card. Let's talk about that, because I think it's healthy. So there's understanding, you know, so we can have the right types of dialogue in our country. So Roy, you shared with me, graduated from college, and he went to get his first job in technology. What happened?
Well, he applied at McDonnell Douglas, and they were huge back in Missouri. Roy actually comes from Ferguson, Missouri, so that's kind of like a little tidbit on the side. So when Roy went to interview for the job, when he had sent in his resume, from his resume they couldn't tell if he was black or white, because he had graduated and he was really high in his class as a mathematician. Roy was very, very sharp and smart. So they invite him in, and when they see him, they're shocked, because I guess St. Louis University didn't have many black graduates. I think Roy was the first one. And when they saw Roy, they were, you know, sort of, you know, overwhelmed with the fact that he was black, and they made the statement, which is in one of his PowerPoints of his history, and they says, "I'm sorry, Mr. Clay, but we don't have any professional positions for African-Americans. We don't have any professional positions for African-Americans." So consequently, Roy never worked for McDonnell Douglas, and that's what, one of the reasons that brought him out here to California.
Wow. Well, you know, and California historically has been a progressive state. So people know that, and we're going to go to a commercial break here in just a moment. But when we come back, we're going to talk more, dig deep in blacks in technology, blacks in business. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on the Edge. I'm not sure what happened to our music there. So my producer's like, what? I'm like, where's the music? So we're here, if you're just tuning in, we're here in the studio and on the phone with the president of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, Carl Davis Jr. And we're talking about blacks in technology, blacks in business. And Carl, I was sharing on break, we were talking a little bit about some of the firsts, like Richard Parsons, the first African-American male to become CEO of a Fortune 500 company, Time Warner, and then Ursula Burns, who became the first African-American woman to become the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, which is Xerox. And so we're seeing some changes. It's a little slow since we're seeing one out of, you know, Fortune 1000 companies. You've got one black female and one black, you know, in terms of some of the data here. But as first, someone has to be the first. So tell us a little bit about what Silicon Valley Black Chamber is. What is that mission, and what is that goal in trying to solve some of these imbalances?
Well, Margaret, one of the things that I would say, and I always talk about this, one of our biggest missions is to try to create more successful, and I got to use that word, successful minority businesses, specifically African American businesses, here in Silicon Valley. You and I know, Margaret, that anybody could basically go into business, you pay a couple hundred bucks and file your license down at the city, and you start and you get in business. But I always used to liken the business failure rate almost to like the marriage failure rate.
Sure.
A lot of people got into marriages and they weren't ready.
Right.
Well, a lot of people got into businesses and they're not ready. So we've always tried to be honest with people when people come to the chamber and they discuss their kind of business model and their ideas. You know, we never try to dampen anybody's enthusiasm about their business, but we will definitely give them an honest opinion about what should their next step be.
Right.
They can either take that or not. And I know for a fact that you're one of the leaders of our Small Business Development Center business advisors, and there's all these resources, and plenty of them are free, that a lot of people don't know about. And it's really a little shame, because you could come and you can have someone analyze your finance, your business model, help you create a business plan, go to these workshops, seminars, and by the time you get into business, you're really ready to get in business. You've prepared yourself well. I almost call it like, you know how in publishing you say this term, camera ready?
Right, right.
You get camera ready.
Right.
Then you're ready to succeed.
So. Right, right. And the reality is, Carl, is that to get ready, oftentimes they don't know how to get ready prior to making those shifts, those career shifts. And so there has to be some education behind that. And so you kind of learn the hard way. Unfortunately, you get your bumps and bruises. And of course, hindsight is always more clear than when you're in the situation, you're trying to figure out how things are going on. But that's why SBA, SBDC, SCORE, Entrepreneur Centers, and all of these resources become a huge benefit to the community as a whole, and not just as minorities, but to the community as a whole. And so I'm a big proponent of using those resources much more than maybe just going out and getting a business coach, including an attorney to help you set up your business, because the truth is that oftentimes you don't need an attorney to do it. And sorry for those out there who are attorneys that are setting up businesses, but you know, and I know that you really have everything online. If you go to the Secretary of State's website, you go to your county sites, your city sites, your state sites, and they're really giving you all the information there if you're willing to read.
Yeah.
You know, you'll save yourself, you know, $4,000 in that process. But let me ask you a question before we go on break. Something, you know, it's kind of one of these tough questions. But Carl, mm-hmm. is there? We got about a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Are we as a Black community? Are we overly? Are we exaggerating our experience in business in America? Would you say, are we exaggerating that?
Well, I mean, I would say, if I understood that question correctly, I would say we're not. But there are some statistics that just alarm me, and I know we're getting ready to go to break, but when I was in Washington, D.C., they had 1.8 million African-American businesses listed as known businesses. They had 1.7 million of those businesses with no employees.
Wow.
That is a stat that I just couldn't believe. 1.8 million Black businesses, 1.7 with no employees.
Right. We're going to talk more.
We can talk about that when we get back.
We're going to talk about that. You take us on into break. We're going AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Beery's business leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Money 2.0 Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We're talking about Blacks in technology, Blacks in business. What's really the right perspective or clear perspective to have? We have President of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, Carl Davis Jr. with us. And Carl, I looked up some of the statistics that you mentioned in the latest statistics from the United States Census. as of 2011. And this is the number of Black-owned businesses increased at triple the national rate. So there's some good news there. So I'm just gonna read a little bit of this for our audience. So from 2002 to 2007, the number of Black-owned businesses increased by 60.5% to 1.9 million, more than triple the national rate at 18%, according to the U.S. Census Bureau survey of business owners. Over the same period, receipts generated by Black-owned businesses increased 55.1% to $137.5 billion. And Carl, you mentioned the 1.8, and this is in 2007, 1.8 million Black-owned businesses had no paid employees, an increase of 64.5% from 2002. Now, what's interesting about that data is that these non-employer businesses' receipts totaled $38.6 billion, an increase of 69%. So there's some really interesting information out, and there's much more information here. But and it goes by Blacks in counties, by state, by cities. The most Black-owned businesses within certain states like Georgia. We expect to see Georgia somewhere in the list with Atlanta out there. But if you want more information about them, just kind of be informed. Go out to the United States Census and you can do a search for Black-owned businesses, and you'll find the same data. So there are some changes coming along because we have advocacy like the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce.
I appreciate that, Margaret. As a matter of fact, I will take a moment to talk about some of the programs that the Chamber's doing. And I love the fact that you brought out those statistics because it shows that cultural change. Mm-hmm. See, when we were growing up, Margaret, you know, many of our parents told us, hey, get a good education, graduate, go to college, and get a good job.
Right.
Our parents were positioning us for employment. And there was nothing wrong with that because that was definitely a step ahead of some of the things that they were doing, maybe some hard labor. So we were getting more white-collar types of work. But as you see now, the data's changing because the younger kids are understanding, hey, it is okay to be the owner of a job. It is okay to have what they call emotional intelligence, and you can hire people who are even smarter than you are.
Right.
And so younger people are figuring this out, and they're more entrepreneurial in spirit. So you see those numbers rising in the statistics, and that's why the Chamber's here to help them. As you said earlier, Margaret, you know, you want to come in and get some help for free if you can.
Right.
As a matter of fact, in some of that data when you were saying earlier, in 1995, it's kind of passe now, but in 1995, I helped open the first small business incubator that was ever in the Chamber of Commerce in America. And our Black Chamber of Commerce had it out here in Silicon Valley in 1995.
Right.
Well, now the term is not so much incubators, they're more like accelerators, you know. So these kids are moving at a real clip. And when we go, Margaret, we teach business and financial literacy in a program that we call Next Generation Business Academy. We teach it to the Eastside high schoolers. And these kids are so sharp that one of our kids actually won the National Business Plan competition and actually saw President Obama. So
that's awesome.
Central Bay should be proud of that.
That's absolutely, absolutely. We're going to go to a break in just a moment. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit. Let's do a quick plug for the Blacks in Business, Blacks in Technology Award ceremony that you're having that's coming up on November 5th. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how they can get tickets?
Yep. This is our second annual award ceremony. Last year was our inaugural one, and it was so well received. We sold out about a month in advance. And people got a chance to see Mr. Roy Clay Sr. And many people knew of Ken Coleman, who's so well known in Silicon Valley, that they saw the story that Ken Coleman actually was brought out here by Roy Clay Sr. So we sort of recognize, African-Americans who've done significant things right here in Silicon Valley. Some are not even around today. So posthumously, we do recognize someone who's not around. And we give a specific award of excellence, the Spirit of Excellence Award in Business, the Spirit of Excellence Award in Technology, and we give a Next Generation of Excellence Award for someone that's younger. Right. So those are our four awards. But people, if they want to get more of the details, they can go to blackchamber.com and look up events.
Absolutely. Let's go to a commercial break. AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. What's going on? That's a great question. Small business, holiday health, wealth, and swagger event is coming up on November 12th. This is, I'm excited about this event because we have 9 different speakers. We're saying start your holiday off smart with strategic, successful information. And so we're doing what I call a speed speaking and speed networking event. We're expecting about 80 to 100 people there. And, you know, we're so health conscious, and as small business owners, we have to stay healthy. We have to stay strong. If we are sick in bed, we are not making money as a small business owner. So we need to make sure that we're staying healthy. We're going to talk about SBDC, Small Business Development Center. We're going to talk about my small business concierge, and we've kind of had some fun with the holiday themes. So we have power topics. So holiday feel good, alternative health. Santa's Christmas Concierge Bag. I'll be talking about the different resources that are available out there for our small businesses and to tap into that. And we've got Financial Education Services with Ruth Vanderstein. She's going to talk about debt settlement for the end of the year. So holiday fixes, end of the year debt. We've got Thanksgiving saving for your future. So we're going to have Brad Hamada come back. Bradley Hamada was on our show a few weeks back, and we did an exclusive event that was just amazing. Just amazing. We have to think about investing as small business owners, diversifying. When we get our businesses to a certain point, we have to think about other things that we can build that financial strength. And Carl talked about financial intelligence. Financial intelligence is important. You got to build, and you got to, you know, begin to make some of those terms that maybe you didn't make in the past. And so 12 days of Christmas small biz banking. So BBVA Compass Bank is going to talk to us about some of their really cool products. In fact, we just did an exclusive event with them on Wednesday, and they were bombarded with questions. So come out and have a great time. We've got New Year's brand and business swagger. You got to look good. Your business has to look good. And how you present yourself is so important. And then let's see, we have the New Year Investing Red Velvet Property Investing Suites. We've got Morris Cole, multimillionaire, coming out from Dallas, Texas, to talk to you about how he got into investing in property and how that is a financial strength for your business. So he's got some really good information about that. And then we've got networking for the holidays, role play. Again, if you're crazy at home, you're crazy at work. So we want to make sure that you keep that, you know, you keep that straight as well. So much going on. And we've got the New Year's, again, brand and swagger and all of that good stuff. So come out. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give away some complimentary seats there. So if you go out to Eventbrite and look up Holiday Swagger, Holiday Health, Wealth, and Swagger, and use the code KDOW Swagger, grab you a seat, and we'll see you out there. And if you want to be a vendor, then there's opportunities out there as well, but you will still get that free pass, that complimentary pass into the event as well. So anyway, let's get back to Carl Davis Jr. Carl, so we've talked a little bit about some of the statistics out there, and I want to bring up a hot topic. As a African-American woman, black woman in the United States, this term, pulling the race card, I've heard more than once from my white counterparts. And this is sort of the conversation I've had with specifically white males. And I want to talk about it because I think that there's a misunderstanding, and I want to do a little training in this segment with regards to how we can better interact with each other and bring some understanding as to it's not a race card that's being pulled. There's something interacting. There's something happening within that situation that an African-American will feel like, You've crossed some sort of line, and I need to, I need to, you know, reestablish these boundaries. And so, so when I hear that term, I am not fond of that particular phrase, pulling the race card. And what I shared with these gentlemen, professional businessmen, elder white males, and I said, you know, I said, if you ever feel like I pulled a race card, it's because you pulled yours first. and I said that, and they were really surprised because the thought never occurred, or probably doesn't occur to white America that maybe maybe if I were going to use this term, that there's a race card there that you may be pulling, and I'm saying let's redevelop a healthy boundary in our communication here, and so and that's what I explained to them, and they understood that information. It says, hey, I want to be treated with some respect. I want to make sure that we are professional with one another. And all I'm saying is you went outside the boundaries, and I'd like you to get back inside a healthy communicative boundary so we can do business better together. And they understood that, and they appreciated that information.
Mm. Well, Margaret, I think you're the perfect person to talk about that and do that. Being a black woman, you know, the challenges for black males are in our society here in America, we're probably the most feared or misunderstood sort of species in America. And many times African-American men have, you know, tried to just let society know we want to be Americans, you know, and you've seen those pictures where,
sure.
You know, black men going into service, they would, they'd be, you know, lining up to go and die for their country and not be able to go to the same bathroom as someone else here in America, but they didn't care. They loved this country.
Right.
See, the ideals of this country is perfect, but we have imperfect people here. So, you know, whether it takes our generation or another generation, I'm happy for the fact, and I know politically people, you know, can say what they want to say about Hillary. I'm so happy that Obama won it for a couple years. I would love to see Hillary win it, and not so much because it's Hillary, but the fact that she's a female.
Right.
So our country sooner or later would say, I'm not looking at a person for their race, ethnicity, sex, religion. I'm looking for them as, is this person qualified to lead our country?
Absolutely.
And that's where I want to see our country go to.
Absolutely. Well said. Well said. We're going to go to commercial break here. AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Beery's business leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Money 2.0, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson and with my friend of the president of the Black Chamber, Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce. We've had a little dialogue today that I think that we can continue and have Carl back and this dialogue about blacks in business, blacks in technology. And we didn't really talk a whole lot about blacks in technology other than Roy, but there is a deficit to blacks in technology. And at one point, it was like 1% of blacks in technology versus their white counterpart, which and I don't know that stat right off the top of my head. In fact, I did have some statistics out here. And I think I closed that out because we're getting ready to wrap up the show. But again, you can find those statistics out on the web, census.gov and the Department of Labor and some other areas. But the point is that there are deficits within our technology. We know that there's a deficit with women. We know that there's a deficit with Hispanics. And we want some balance. And Carl, I think you said it best, is that we want to be American. We love this country. I love this country. I love this country.
Yeah.
It's the best country on the planet, and we want to be a benefit, and we want to participate in living that American dream, and making an impact in our communities, our cities, our counties, our states, and our federal government. And you know, that doesn't take away from anyone.
That's right.
You know,
that's
so right. I think that's fantastic.
As a matter of fact, Margaret, just to let you know, we've always preached over where we're at the chamber that the pathway to employment, the pathway to entrepreneurship is through education. So we have a Next Generation Business Academy, as I mentioned earlier, and we provide and we do Silicon Valley Black Youth Hackathons. We do virtual reality hackathons. We just had a workshop about cybersecurity. We're trying to prepare our kids for jobs of the 22nd century. In 10 to 20 years, you're going to have to know some technology to
sure.
have any type of job
sure.
in America. But
absolutely.
We want our people to be employed.
Absolutely. And that's global. And we're a global
yeah.
community. And the United States is reflecting that. Again, connect with the Black Chamber of Commerce, Blacks in Technology, Blacks in Business, Saturday, November 5th, 2016. And you can get tickets. You can go out to the Black Chamber's website. Can you give us that website one more time, Carl?
It's blackchamber.com, and just scroll over to events.
Okay, so that's blackchambers.com. Go to the events and get your ticket for that event as well. And also, we want you to tune into Carl's show, Silicon Valley Business Connection. And so you can go out to the KDOW website, kdow.biz, and find out when he's on. We're so glad to have you part of the team. You just kind of let me know that information. And also connect with our Health, Wealth, and Swagger event. Go to KDOW. Well, go use the KDOW Swagger code. And you can go to the businessontheedge.biz website and click on the event, and you can get in. And please pick up a vendor booth out there and come out and network. It is going to be awesome. This is kind of a mini expo, so come out and have a good time. And if you want to be a sponsor for either one of these events, definitely connect with us. We want you to participate. Thank you for tuning in tonight. You're listening to Margaret Jackson, Money 2.0, Business on the Edge, AM 1220 KDOW. Business and finance leader. How about that?